This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Uptown Motors Green and Gold Postgame Show. Uptown begins with you, the official auto dealership of Leroy Butler. Go to UptownMotors.com. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Well, we saw Ty Summers pick six, Dexter Williams with the mossy hair, flashing lights. We had, we've got right now a Green Bay Packer victory in the making with 14, 13, 12 seconds to go. Welcome to the program, and thank God the preseason's over.
Man, come on, Bill.
I'm going to tell you now, Gary, you are in the same boat. We're both paddling in the same direction. We're both tired. We're tired of the preseason. Kind of slap happy tonight. Could get silly. This show could go off the rails
I like slap happy.
Slap happy, I'm in. I'm with.
Yeah,
I'm
I
in.
Like that.
Yeah, there you go. We are broadcasting live at Hinterland here in Green Bay. It is the Uptown Motors Green and Gold Postgame Show. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We would love to take your phone calls. But we can't. So, and it's something that it's a weird thing. It's technical, but it's like a citywide outage for media outlets and radio stations and such. So, this is the way you got to do it. You got to hit up Gary or hit up myself on Twitter, at Gary Ellerson. Or at Bill_Michaels. Hit us up with your reaction. We'd love to hear from you. You can drop us an email. That is simply Bill Michaels, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S, at BillMichaelsSports.com. You can find over on the Facebook fan page, which is Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Whatever it happens to be, you can track us down in that particular fashion. Or take a listen, favorite us on the Radio.com app, and love us, and hopefully later on this evening we put you to sleep at some point, not because of boredom, but just because our soothing tones and our comfort breath put you down.
I like that.
There you go.
Put you down.
Put you down.
Bed you down, Bill.
Bed you down. That's it.
That's how we do it.
I think
I'm
going to have to sport me a Dexter Williams green moss on the back of my head. I might have to go in that direction.
No.
I don't know what that was on him tonight.
No, you don't want to do that.
He pulled his helmet off. Next thing you know, bam, looked like Cookie Monster ate the back of his face.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Then you come talking about we need to paste something on the back of your head.
I got to paste something back there, man. I'm going to have to stop up in Menards or something. Give me some AstroTurf and just stick it back there.
These millennials, man.
So, you know, 36 guys didn't play.
Yes.
What do you want to talk about?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 36 guys. Did Boyle separate himself or at least do enough to say he's still the second in command when it comes to the quarterback position?
Yeah, he did.
You know, I mean.
Yeah. You want to talk about that real
quick?
We
can talk about that. You know, other than that, Gary, here's the thing, and this is what I think is probably the most pressing question, and that is if Aaron Rodgers goes down for any length of time.
It's a wrap.
It is a wrap, but here's the question. If let's say it's two games, can Tim Boyle win you two games?
He can win you 1.5. Well, it all depends on what the defense is going to do. I mean, if that deep, because he's got to have help. He can't do it by himself.
Right.
But if that defense plays well, then yes, I believe he can. I believe he can right now over Kaiser. It'd be interesting to see what they do. But if it's 3, 4, 5 games, the Packers don't have a chance. I mean, they can't sustain that. For that length of time.
Every starter but these three, Danny Vitale, Montrevious Adams, and Darnell Savage Jr., every other starter was a scratch tonight.
Yeah.
Those are the only three guys.
Rightly so.
Jamal Williams was out. Aaron Jones was out. Malcolm Johnson was out tonight. And you had every starter offensively, Devontae Adams, Jay Kumerow, Alan Lazard. Do we look at Alan Lazard and company and say, now Darius Shepherd did play. Trevor Davis did play, which tells me that they're not solidified on either of those two guys yet. But does this mean that they are a lock to play? Robert Tonyan, Mercedes Lewis, Jimmy Graham, Jay Sternberger did play tonight, but he ended up with an injury, and he came back. He looked okay, but he was still standing on the sideline, didn't come back in the ballgame. But does that mean you're a lock? I would say there's probably four guys there that I read their names, and I thought, okay, they've got a legitimate injury. Beyond that, I think everybody else had a position locked up.
Yeah, I would agree with it. I think let me talk quarterback here real quick. So, yes, I think Boyle is your second-string guy, right? That's where I see it. Kizer, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to keep three quarterbacks or if they go and try to trade him or what they do. I find it a very puzzling, Bill, that they go and they trade, is it Reggie Gilbert?
Right,
for a
draft choice.
Seventh-round draft choice. You couldn't get nothing for Mike Daniels. You couldn't get nothing for Josh Jones. I find that very puzzling. Now, then back to the quarterback spot, though. If they can go get something for Kizer, go ahead and do that. I'm hearing some buzz on Hoyer right now to the Green Bay Packers.
Are you really? Okay, we've always heard that
right.
Their backup is not on the roster.
Right. So I'm hearing some of that buzz right now. I don't know if it's going to come to fruition, but I think – and I've always said all along that they need a veteran backup behind Rodgers. That means Rodgers needs a veteran backup behind him for the last 5 or 6 years, and they've never done that. So I think that's the way they should go. But just sticking with quarterbacks, I think it's Tim Boyle, and I don't know what to do with Kizer. It's all going to be a numbers game.
Yeah.
Because then that goes back to your tight ends, where you asked me about tight ends. Do they keep four tight ends? And listen, Jimmy Graham – paid him a boatload of money, so you would think that he's going to be back. Tonyan has probably had the best preseason out of all
yeah.
these guys.
Right.
Sternberger, you're going to keep because did you draft him in the third or fourth round? So he's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
And Mercedes Lewis, you just paid him $500,000. But I don't know how you keep four tight ends and three quarterbacks.
Right.
And then you've already went into Shepard and Lazar. I think that's those two guys are what it's going to come down to, too.
You're hoping if Shepard doesn't make the roster that you can sneak him over to the practice squad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think out of the two, Shepard probably has the ability to make it to the practice squad out of those two. Because you look at Lazar, it's like 6'5". I mean –
yeah,
he
6'5", good wheels.
He passed the eye test,
and he held on to the football.
Right, he passed the eye test.
He held on to the football. Yeah,
yeah.
How many offensive linemen are you going to keep?
You want to go through that with me?
Well, let's do this. I mean,
what do you want to do?
Look. You know, you got Devontae, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Jake Kumerow, Geronimo Allison. It depends on what you do with Equanimeous St.
Sure.
Brown as far as that ankle sprain goes. So is it Alan Lazard, Trevor Davis, round out your six if Equanimeous St. Brown goes on the IR? And if he does, do they keep seven, which means Darius Shepard would make it? Jamal Moore, I think at this point agree he's done.
So I think you've got Shepard trying to get through the practice squad.
So
that's
he would go to your practice squad.
That's how I see that.
So you keep Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis, Jay Sternberger, Robert Tonyan. You're keeping Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and Dexter Williams.
I wouldn't be surprised if Sternberger get IR'd.
Really?
That sounds like a Packer thing to do.
Jay Sternberger after the injury tonight?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that were. The numbers for me just don't work. Four tight ends. How many receivers?
Six or seven.
Seven receivers. And now, you know, Lane Taylor you're going to keep. I thought I heard today someone said that they announced him as the starter.
Well,
day one.
I haven't
seen anywhere, but that's what I heard.
I said all along that if you're going to get rid of Lane Taylor just because of money, that means you're making a decision as business, not what's best for the team. What's best for the team to be deep at the offensive line position.
They got money. I think they're $15 million underneath the cap, something like that. So they got money. They don't really need to do that with him.
Then the other question is going to be, and we'll address this coming up, but when you talk about special teams tonight, Mason Crosby had a missed PAT.
So you want to talk that?
So let's do that when we come back. We'll take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we'll get into that discussion because, really, that seems to be one of those battles that could be a little bit questionable.
Right.
By the way, when we talk about things that could be a little questionable, one of the things that you would question is as far as the hit of the game, which one would it be? Well, Kiki had a big sack going back to the first quarter, and the hit of the game brought to you by the Boilermakers Local 107. Here it is.
Jack Shermer, third and goal, crumbling pocket. time. Kingsley Keke brings him down with a sack back to the 10. And the Packer defense holds a long drive by Kansas City. Here comes the field goal unit.
That is brought to you by, that's Kevin Harlan right there, the Packers Television Network, brought to you by the Boilermakers Local 107, building and rebuilding America for over 225 years. Check out their apprenticeship opportunities right now at Boilermakers107.com. We are broadcasting live in Hinterland. If you want to stop by over the Titletown District, come on by and say hello. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellison alongside the Green Bay Packers. They get a win tonight. They wrap up their preseason at, 2-2. They win 27-20 over the Kansas City Chiefs. And a week from tonight, they get it going for real. Hang in there. We got a lot more of the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show coming up right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The final, the Green Bay Packers knock off the Kansas City Chiefs in the final preseason game of this 2019 young season. Now they get it on for real. 1 week from tonight, they're going to be in the Windy City down in Chicago at Soldier Field taking on the Bears and hoping that not playing anybody in the preseason pays off and that this offense does indeed come out firing on all cylinders because they're going to need to do it. Welcome back. We're broadcasting live at Hinterland. Stop on by and say hi, Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. As we left you, we were talking about the special teams and the kicking situation. Mason Crosby misses a PAT tonight then comes back and has a decent game. Ficken obviously has made everything he's been asked to do. So, Gary, what do you do?
Well, one of these guys is going to be playing for the Chicago Bears next Thursday night.
That's what I think.
I don't know which one it will be. And maybe they go in and ask Mason to take a pay cut. But I don't even know why they would do that because, I mean, the Packers got enough money. I mean, they just got to figure out is it Mason Crosby is this time up? New regime, they want to go in a different, in a different way, and maybe Mason's done. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think Mason has done enough to lose his job. It's just a matter of whether these guys want to go in a different direction.
The only two hiccups he had this preseason was when in game one against the Texans he kicked a kickoff out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then this missed PAT.
Right. But see, I don't think he's done enough to lose his job.
Right.
But I mean that's going to be a weird situation too. Did you think? And I don't know, but did you think Mike Daniels did enough to lose his job?
No,
I didn't.
No.
See, I mean,
but
that,
Mike Daniels, I can at least understand a little bit because Mike Pettine wants this multi-versatile player.
Well, he
and
didn't
they can
fit.
Move Kenny in inside
right.
and outside. Where Mike, he's what he is.
Well, he didn't fit. I mean, I get that. But then to get nothing for him just kind of confused me. I mean, I let with that earlier. I mean, that didn't fit. But I think if you look at Mason Crosby, he hasn't done anything to lose his job. So I think he should stay. But like I said, if he's not here – then one of those guys would be in Chicago on Thursday night, which would be a shame.
Yeah, it would, because they brought in nine kickers.
I've seen three and four before,
but never nine.
A lot of those guys that they brought in were pretty upset that they – and you got to go, right? You can't not go try out. I mean, it's the NFL job. That's probably your dream job. So a lot of those guys weren't happy that they tried out nine kickers, but it is what it is at that point.
This portion of the program is brought to you by our good friends for the best hands in the game, the North Central States Carpenters. And
I like those guys. Those
are good guys.
Yeah.
Best hands of the game. I'll tell you what, you can't go any past. The guy that had a spectacular preseason, Ty Summers, gets the tip, balls in the air, and off he goes. Take a listen.
Chiefs in the nickel. Murray the low snap. He was hit. That's intercepted and picked off by Ty Summers. He's got the sideline. It's a foot race. There he goes. That is a pick six.
And that's what it was, pick six. And then the lights went crazy. First time we'd ever seen that.
Yeah.
Thought first it was a power outage. And then after that, we ended up seeing the lights go on and off and flickering everywhere. And so it got kind of cranked up.
The lights and the flashing?
I've never seen the lights flash like that. With those new LEDs, they can turn them on and turn it off.
So last time we were here was with the horn.
Last time was we had that third down, that SS right. Green Bay thing.
Right. And now we got the flashing of, I don't, what are they doing?
You know,
I mean, I don't think Lambeau Field has to be gimmicky. I just don't. That's just me. I don't get down with that at all. I mean, I think our fan base is a great fan base. You got 40, 50,000 people on the waiting list to get in here. And the reason why you have that is because it's Lambeau Field.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because you got to teach these guys when to cheer. We have very, very knowledgeable fans. I just don't see why you got to do all this gimmicky stuff. I mean, I don't know who's behind that or who said that they need to get the crowd more involved. To me, goes against Lambeau, the spirit of.
Right.
I mean, you know, back when I played, Bill, we had the band down in the corner. I forget the name of the band. They said, if anybody want to know the name of that band, they can call us up. But back when I played, we had a band down there. You know?
Right.
And but I don't – this gimmicky with the horn, with the flashing lights. Maybe I'm going to get off my lawn, guy, but we're not at a disco.
On one hand, I agree with you. On one hand, it's Lambeau Field. You don't need that. You know?
It's Lambeau Field.
It's like Wrigley. It's like the Green Monster in Fenway. It's historic.
It's historic. We don't need all that.
On the other hand, younger people love it. They want lights. They want action. They want ribbon boards and things to grab your attention.
I don't know, Bill.
Hype up the crowd. Some people said that we're actually here. They said, well, it's become old because so many season ticket holders have kept their tickets, and they've gotten old. They don't stand. They don't cheer. They don't get loud, so they need something else to crank it up.
So they don't like old people.
That's pretty much it.
Who said that?
I saw some Twitter accounts. Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah. So we had the lights tonight. So whether or not you like, we can even get into that.
I don't like the lights.
Yeah.
I just don't think you need it at Lambeau. I mean, I just don't. It's Lambeau Field.
Right.
I mean, I can see if you're going to go to one of these. I mean, I wouldn't even get down with it if it were at Soldier Field, because that's one of those stadiums, you know, that's been around. I mean, when you talk about the Green Bay Packers, you talk about Chicago, probably the New York Giants, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're Dallas Cowboys to a certain degree. You're talking about one of the NFL teams that first got it all started. I mean, if you're celebrating 100 years, there's not many teams that are celebrating 100 years.
Right.
We are.
No.
I just don't think. I just don't think all that's needed.
Scott Olson said, I'd rather see the lights flashing than hear that stupid horn.
Well, yeah. I don't know, because the stupid light flashing made me dizzy way up there, Bill. I mean, I thought I was going to fall through the window or something up there. I mean, get off my lawn.
What else do we have? Let's see here. This is from Andrew, who said, I love the lights because the old season ticket holders are cranky and don't want to stand up and cheer.
Well, I'm
gets
cranky.
Them going.
I'm being cranky right now. I'm
Nick
being
said,
old cranky.
I like the LED lights.
No.
That thing was pretty cool.
No.
No. Let's see here. Adam says, I don't know how everybody got the notion that Lambeau was a high-intensity energy place to begin with. Wisconsin fans are generally pretty tame compared to others. Lambeau is really not that loud. Our claim to fame is that everybody just pretty much shows up. Let the lights flash.
I disagree with that.
There you go.
Bill, you've been doing this for a number of years.
Randy says, hey, if the Bears were doing this, the Packers fans would be ridiculing them.
Yes.
You know?
No doubt.
Yeah.
Bill, you've been here for a number of years.
I have
Long
been.
Time.
I have been.
You going? What do you think? Get off my lawn? Where you going?
I don't think it's a big deal.
You were doing this back with Brian Noble.
Put it this way. Okay. I know this, but I'm my whole
Brett
point.
Brett
Favre. Is,
I mean, what Brett Favre?
How many games do they have at night? We're gonna have to worry about it.
What Brett Favre's dad would do? He'd be rolling over his grave right now.
Irv would say, "Don't give me that blank. All I want to do is see football."
Yeah.
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 If you go with the Irv Favre vote, Irv would say, I don't care about any of that.
Irv,
you can do what you want. Give me my Budweiser. Let me watch the game. That was Irv.
Irv.
Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break coming up here momentarily. Just to let you know, we are broadcasting live here at Hinterland. That's where you can find us. We're here until midnight tonight. Stop on by. The Packers get a win 27-20. They knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. And Hinterland, by the way, is going to be our home, our broadcast home after the Packers games. The Green and Gold postgame show will emanate live from here after each and every game. So make sure you make Hinterland your place to stop over between the great pizza, great brews, all kinds of different craft brews over here at Hinterland, and a tremendous place. And the big fireplaces usually go roaring in the cooler weather. And then the patios are open right now. So stop over to Hinterland. Take care of the staff. Take care of the people here. They're great people. A couple of questions that we'll get to when we come back. They're talking about depth. Ty Summers, by the way. Somebody just said, did Ty Summers make this team? I think you'd have to be crazy to think Ty Summers didn't make this team.
Oh, yeah, he's there.
I don't even think he's a bubble guy. He's a guy that's there, no doubt about it.
I mean, he's got a chance to be your starter day one.
Yep. So what we'll do is when we come back, we'll start to run through the numbers, because the numbers at one point were stifling in favor of Kansas City, and after that, the Packers really kind of buckled down and got it going tonight here at Lambeau Field. But once again, the Packers get a win 27-20, knocking off the Kansas City Chiefs. They go to 2-2 in the preseason, and 1 week from tonight, they get it going for real against the Chicago Bears down at Soldier Field. He's Gary Ellerson. I'm Bill Michaels. Hang on. We got more of the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Is the final. The Green Bay Packers win the final preseason game, and now it basically goes back to zero because they get ready for the Chicago Bears 1 week from tonight. By the way, 1 week from tonight, we'll be broadcasting live in the Shy Bar in downtown Chicago. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels, and we'll get our 2019 season underway officially. Packers tonight, Gary, as we talked about, they've got depth. I don't know what the quality of their depth is. When you go 2-2 in the preseason, when you see some good things defensively, some good things offensively, you got to feel good about your depth, and you got to feel good about specials. How much more talent is on this team? Because I don't think they have a lot of Pro Bowlers, but I think they're deeper, and they've got a lot of good role players on this team.
Well, I think when you look at Kansas City, I mean, it just felt like Kansas City was at a whole different pace than we were. I mean, Kansas City players look much faster. I mean, they can do more things in space. We seem to look like we just kind of plod around a little bit. We're not as athletic as Kansas City. I mean, I know I think they're trying to get there, but I think those are some of the things that has been lost in Green Bay, is that we kind of got, not Packer fans, but we've gotten,
go ahead,
the players have gotten a little stale. I mean, the athleticism is not there. I mean, you watch Kansas City and what they do, that little number 89, we got nobody like that. I mean, they've got like four or five guys that are like that, and their tackling was much better. This team, to me, most certainly the team as a whole has taken a step back as far as talent is concerned. I don't know if that's the NFL as a whole where it's gotten watered down, but if you were a bet man, and if they had to play Kansas City for real, Kansas City should be by at least 20, 25 points.
I think on the other hand, the Packers, going back to what we stated at the beginning of the show, was the Packers only had three guys that you could even consider to be starters that actually played tonight. 36 guys did not dress tonight. They had more guys at one point on the sideline that were in street clothes and sweats than they did actually in uniform.
But, Bill, do you remember, I don't know, it's probably more like 8 years ago when, and this wasn't the case tonight, I don't know if you noticed this, but probably more like 8 years ago, there used to be like tons of scouts.
Oh yeah,
up in the press box.
Right.
How many did you see tonight? Very little.
Five.
Very little.
Five. Yeah.
Very little.
Because you would see, and for those that don't know, the media area, the press box, the last two rows were full of scouts. And what does it hold, 10 people per row?
Yes.
In that back row?
Yes.
So you're talking maybe 20 scouts.
Right.
All these different teams that were here looking for the depth that either the Packers or their opponent were willing to cut.
Right.
And they were looking for that extra guy. Tonight you saw maybe five?
Very little.
Yeah, maybe
so
five.
So which tell you that their second-line players are not what they used to be, or their second-line players is not what people are looking for at this point. I mean, you can remember when our second-line players were beating – first team players from other teams. Mm-hmm. The talent level in Green Bay, to me, has dropped off tremendously. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news and folks be mad with me and everything, but, I mean, you can just look out there and tell. Look at Kansas City and look at what we have. Now, I don't know what we have defensively. We don't even know what we have offensively because we haven't even seen these guys play.
I think they're decent up front. I think the big question is middle linebacker depth. Secondary, if you do lose, say, a Darnell Savage, Kevin King, if you end up losing a Jair Alexander, you lose some guys back in that area, and all of a sudden you're looking. I mean, Tony Brown has made a name for himself in this camp. I think he's played extremely well, but how many guys behind him? You know, Kadar Holman, is Kadar Holman the guy that you're going to go to? Is there somebody else that's going to be ready to go that's going to be at that level, that quality level of play, that's a turn-and-go speed, a lockdown? You don't have, I think, but maybe one guy, two
that's
tops,
it.
Lockdown corners
yes.
on the outside.
That's
Kevin
it.
King can do it, but he's got to be available.
Right.
Kevin King's got a history of being injured.
And that's the problem.
Right. At one point tonight, by the way, I had tweeted out that the Chiefs, 10-1 over the Packers when it came to first downs.
Yes.
Packers ended up only one behind them, 2019. So the Packers then went on a run after that, actually moving the football a little bit better this evening, 18 to 10. The Packers outdid the Chiefs, mainly in the second half of this ball game. By the way, third down efficiency, really good for the Chiefs, 43%. Not good for the Packers defensively, but not good for the Chiefs defensively either, as the Packers went 44% tonight, 4 of 9 on third down. The Chiefs were on fourth down tonight, 100% at 2 of 2. Total net yards favor the Chiefs, 294 to only 211. Passing yards, 198 for the Chiefs, 101 for the Green Bay Packers. And then the rest of it kind of goes from there. The one number that I guess you could be happy about is that your penalties have steadily gone down.
Yeah,
Packers
they've tonight, been bad.
Packers tonight, 6 penalties, 47 yards. The Chiefs, 14 penalties, 137 yards.
How did the offense look to you tonight?
Slow at first, and then it seemed like they got a little bit of a rhythm going under Boyle. I'll tell you this. The difference between Boyle and Kaiser knows he's got athletic ability, so he's quicker to take off. Boyle will stand in the pocket and stand in the pocket and stand in the pocket, keep the poise, and then move the ball downfield.
Well, Boyle is your number two.
Right.
So that's clear cut right there. But when you saw Kansas City's offense with their twos right away, it was just, I mean, it was
when,
on it.
They were winning matchups one-on-one up front.
Yes.
And they were blowing open holes Woo. For the run game. And then in addition to that, they ran a couple of plays. That crossing pattern Woo. Over the middle in which they ran a rub, and it ended up going for, I don't know, 9 yards.
How did Andy Reid get to be that?
That just blows
my mind.
You could see
from
the
up
advancement.
Top how it just opens up.
Right.
Like that?
I mean, they scheme guys open tonight.
Yes.
That's supposed to be something that, you know, Matt LaFleur is going to be capable of doing with this, you know, Aaron Rodgers under center offense. I don't know. We haven't
just
seen it.
It blows my mind.
We haven't seen it. You know what I mean? 855-830-8648. If you want to try to chime in, feel free to do so. See if things are working for you. If not, you can always hit us up over on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, or at Radio Joe Sports, or at Gary Ellerson as well. Based on the preseason now, Kyle says, being completed, which one of these guys that have played will make the biggest impacts on the team during the regular season? Who do you think? Is it Ty Summers or somebody else? I've liked Ty Summers since we saw his burst of speed against
day.
The Texans the very first day.
Closing speed is awesome.
And his reaction time, I've liked Ty Summers from the beginning.
Yeah.
So if he's going to kind of fill the bill at that middle linebacking position, which is an area of need, and you don't know what you're going to get out of it. Tell me this. Or let's talk about Oren Burks for a minute, because Oren Burks with the torn pectoral muscle, did you ever have that in your career?
No, thank God I didn't, Bill, because – you don't want that. That's pretty.
You don't want anything torn up. I'll tell you that now.
You don't want the pectoral. I mean, that thing, it'll start hanging down on you and stuff.
Well, he's going to wear the brace, but you can't do much with
your arm. I mean, I got to rub my pec right now just to even think about how hard
I was wondering what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Self-massage is a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't know how he's going to play and perform with a torn pectoral muscle. Now, granted, it can heal over time, but every time he takes a hit, every time he hyperextends that thing, he's going to tear it a little bit.
Yes, he is.
And kind of deter the healing process. So
he's probably going to wear a harness.
Right. So he's going to wear the harness. Blake Martinez is Blake Martinez. We haven't seen him play all preseason, so we'd assume he's going to get better.
Yeah.
Then there's, with a Blake Martinez jersey right there, by the way. Then there's Ty Summers can fill the bill. Who else beyond that? James Crawford?
That once again, we start talking about the talent of the Green Bay Packers. And if you just start with just the inside linebacker spot, you're looking for names. We don't even know who these guys are.
Right.
I'm outside of Blake Martinez. That's it. Who else?
Oren Burks was a third-round draft pick, but
he hasn't done
anything.
Right. He hasn't shown us nothing.
Right.
Now we're to Ty Summers.
Ty Summers, who made a name for him, seventh-round draft choice this year. He looked good.
He could be your opening day starter.
And after that, you're going to start moving guys down into the box out of safety. You're not going to do it with Savage. But are you going to do it with Raven Green?
Raven Green can get down in
you
there.
You know, could you could obviously
that's
maybe
so Raven.
A guy that's very smart would
yeah.
bring in Tremont Williams.
Yeah.
Josh Jackson.
What's up with Josh Jackson? That's another one.
That's another one. Sitting back there just kind of looking around.
I mean, that was a high pick last year.
Uh-huh.
From Iowa. Now, last year during training camp, he could play some slot. I thought that was his spot because he could react on some balls inside the slot position. I just don't know if he's got the great man skills to be on the outside on that island by himself. But I think Josh Jackson is a good slot guy. And I don't know where they're going to put him. And once again, that's all hinges on Kevin King, if he can
right.
stay healthy or not.
And that's going to be a big if back there. I mean, at least you have Tremont Williams as a corner that's savvy enough veteran-wise and played well enough last year to say, okay, you've at least got a safety net. But you're still, and we're still talking about this, you're still thin at linebacker. You're still
yeah.
thin in the secondary.
Yeah.
And this is going to be one of those years that if you're going to have any success, it's going to be because you're one of the healthier teams
right.
in the NFL.
That's it.
This one is from Jack, and Jack tweeted us. I got to get to it a little bit earlier, but he said, hey, guys, how difficult is it to actually play and try to turn it on in the regular season when not playing in the preseason?
That's a good question.
I said earlier today I've seen teams that have said it. We save our legs, we save our bodies, guys come out fresh, you know, practice on Wednesday through Friday, wins you championships on Sunday. So I don't know.
Well, I'm going to say this. So they can say what they want to say, but come Thursday night, you and I are going to be up in Soldier Field.
Uh-huh.
And if they lose, I don't want to hear nobody get up to the podium and say, well, we're working on our timing. We only have our timing down right.
Right.
He zigged when he should have zagged. When the play came in, I didn't understand it, so I had to call another play. Then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, there's a flag because we can't get the play in, and we don't use up all our timeouts before the halftime. I don't want to hear any of that. I really don't. I'm just going to lose it if I get off. Because then that would be the reason, to me, the reason why you have that is because you got no continuity during this period in these last four games.
Right.
That's what that would tell us. Now, we'll see.
What I took away from Brian Gutekunst's press conference last week when he talked about and was asked the question, are you concerned that the starters aren't playing? And he said, well, no, but it takes a little while. You know, it could be half a season. And
that's the truth.
I said, wait a minute, a half a season?
Yes.
You don't have that kind of time.
No.
You just don't. You don't have 6, 7, 8 games to try to figure this thing out. We've watched over the last 4 or 5 years under Mike McCarthy where we kept making excuses. Well, this thing doesn't get going for 4 games. It doesn't really hit its stride for 4 games. And it may not get
And that was an offense that they knew.
Right.
This is an offense they don't even know.
It may not hit its stride for 4 games.
Yeah.
But it can't be inept for 4 games.
No, it can't.
I mean, it just you can't afford that. You can't come out. What do you do if you come out of the chute 0-2?
I don't even want to think about that.
There you go. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. The Packers, they get a win.
Right.
27-20. They end up knocking off the Kansas City Chiefs. Final preseason game now a week from tonight. They end up down at Soldier Field taking on the Bears. He's Gary Ellison. I'm Bill Michaels. We are broadcasting live in Hinterland. We've got more right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are broadcasting live at Hinterland here in Green Bay, the Titletown District. That's where you can find us, just across the street from Lambeau Field. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellison alongside at the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show. Packers get a win 27-20. They knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. They go to 2-2 in the preseason. Now you erase it all, and you get ready for the regular season. 1 week from tonight, Soldier Field. That's when Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels, the entire Sunday night football crew takes over on Thursday night, and they kick off the 100th season of the NFL, and the Packers are going to be a part of it in the most storied rivalry in all the NFL, and we'll wait and see. The questions, I was coming down the elevator today.
Yeah.
And coming out of Lambeau Field, and there was a couple of fans that got in the elevator, and they're saying, so what do you think? And how many times do you get that?
More so this year than any other year.
What do you think? I say, about what? World politics or,
yeah,
you know, what?
No,
what do you think the Packers are going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. We haven't seen them. 8-8, 9-7. If they get lucky, they get a couple of wins, they stay real healthy, maybe you get 10 wins, you get yourself in the postseason. Can you imagine this team being out of the postseason for 3 years in a row, something that was never done under Brett Favre?
Well, yeah, no, I can't. I mean, it's hard to fathom. But you can see this organization took a turn.
Yeah.
And that you never really – and if it was about draft and development, I mean, they did a poor job of drafting players. And so now you're paying for it. I mean, when you're cutting second, third round picks, I mean, that's tough to overcome. And that's where the Packers are right now, is they have to replenish those picks the high picks that they have let go over the years that should be stars. I mean, you got two guys right now in Kevin King, who has that bad shoulder, and you drafted Rashard Gary, also with a bad shoulder, and you don't know if both of those guys are going to play 16 games for you.
The are you kidding me moment tonight of the game, brought to you by the Gene Wagner Plumbing Company. And this one was Kaiser goes back, gets hit, ball floats in the air. There's Lucas underneath it. And this is the are you kidding me moment of the game.
Second down and 17. Kaiser heavily pressured, intercepted, picked off by Lucas. Jordan Lucas has just picked off Deshaun Kaiser, who has thrown his second preseason interception.
And it was an ill-advised pass. I mean, don't get me wrong. The receiver cut off the route, but it still would have been an overthrow.
Yeah.
Bad pass. Kaiser with his second pick of the season. And that's a Are You Kidding Me moment of the game, brought to you by our friends at Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. That's GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
I like those guys.
.com. Do you?
Gene Wagner. Yeah,
okay.
Those guys are great.
They love you, too.
Yeah. They get it done for you.
Okay.
There, Gene.
It's like faucets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not because you plugged up your toilet or
anything.
No, right?
I mean, they
okay.
get it done.
Okay, just checking. Making sure you're all right over there. Based on the preseason now being completed, guys, who do you think is going to be the starting tight end?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Well, Jimmy Graham's going to be your starter.
He's going to get an opportunity to lose the job.
Yeah. So that's where you're going to go there. And then after that, all bets are off. I think they have a multitude of tight ends that can do a lot of different things. All four of those guys are different.
What did Sternberger show you?
Nothing.
I like Tonyan still. I like Tonyan because he gives you more of a wide receiver feel or a slot receiver feel. He's a guy that, as far as
do you
receiver,
feel like do you let me do you feel like we're trying to make up stuff? Like, you really don't know, do you?
No, but
I mean, because that's what I feel.
But the
like.
Guy that
I mean,
I've seen,
I mean, if you go like, what's Jermichael Finley? Well, I don't like him because he's talked too much, but he's a hell of a football player. Tight end. Right? What do you think about Greg Jennings? Well, he talks too much about Aaron Rodgers, but, man, he can go deep.
Yes, he could.
Once upon a time, there was no real questions about any guy that you could think of on the what do you think about Chad Clifton? What do you think about Bullock when he was younger?
Right.
Right? What about
Clifton
Sitton and T.J. Lang?
Right.
I mean, you can just replace all those guys with these guys got now, and you just kind of sit back. You got to look up in the air. You got to start thinking about, well, if this happens and that happens, then maybe that happens. I mean, because that tells you how far the talent really has dropped. From the Green Bay Packers.
Two to three years of Ted Thompson not drafting well and having two draft classes completely gone with no representatives left in the last 5 years has decimated the depth of talent of this team.
That's the truth. That's
without
straight,
a doubt.
That's straight keeping it 100.
So that's that I truth. Agree with.
So now, once again, you have to really rely on Aaron Rodgers and – just hope that he and LaFleur get – because Aaron Rodgers himself probably can get this team to 9 or 10 wins. But you have to rely on that he is not Aaron Rodgers from last year. You have to hope that he's MVP Aaron Rodgers. But at some point, he's not going to be that anymore.
He's not going to be the MVP, but I think he can do enough to make guys around him better. And I've asked this question all along.
Yes.
You haven't changed anybody on the offense. You've added a couple of pieces for depth, but you haven't changed anybody.
Right.
So all you're relying on, one, is a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Two, the chip on his shoulder after the offseason he sustained.
Yeah.
And all that was said about him.
Right.
And three, Matt LaFleur in the scheme.
Right. That's it. And we don't even know if Matt LaFleur's scheme is schemed well for Aaron Rodgers.
Right. So the original question was, who do you like at tight end?
Okay, get me back.
No, but
I don't know.
The fact of this is,
They're all mush.
Jimmy Graham has not shown me anything here that would give me a sense of the Jimmy Graham of old is ready to emerge.
Thank you.
Mercedes Lewis is strictly a blocking position guy.
That's all you got. Tonyan is unproven.
Tonyan is unproven, but at times when they've gone to him, he's had good hands.
He's had good hands.
And then Sternberger, you don't know.
Don't know.
So your depth at that position. I mean, like running back, you know Aaron Jones. Yeah. He's your north-south. He can get around. He can bounce the outside. Well, he can go all over. Then you know Jamal Williams. Well, no, he can plow people
let's
over.
Let's go back to Aaron Jones. We don't know about him either because you don't know if he can play 16 games.
Well, that's the other question. But you know when he's healthy, he's good. The one question about Aaron Jones is, did he get good enough in the offseason? Because he did bulk up. Does he still have his quickness? And did he get good enough in the offseason as a receiver to be more of an integral piece for Aaron Rodgers out of the backfield?
Yeah, that's still if come maybe for me.
Yeah. Because that's what they want to use him with.
Yeah, it's still if come maybe.
And I still like the fact that between him, Jamal Williams, and Dexter Williams, that at least they've got some options back there. And it's been better depth-wise, at least, rather than just having one guy and then nobody, at least it's better depth-wise than what you've had in the recent past. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We have another hour yet to go. Broadcasting live at Hinterland across the street from Lambeau Field. Packers get a win 27-20. Thank God the preseason's over. We got a lot more. The Green and Gold Postgame Show coming up right after this.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Uptown Motors Green and Gold Postgame Show. Uptown begins with you, the official auto dealership of Leroy Butler. Go to UptownMotors.com. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Well, we saw Ty Summers with a pick six. We saw flashing lights right after that. We saw Dexter Williams with the mossy hair on the back of his head. And we saw the preseason come to an end. 27-20, the Packers get a win. They knock off the Kansas City Chiefs going to 2-2. And now we get to talk about all the things that are going to equate to the regular season. Gary Ellerson alongside the former Packer and Badger running back. I'm Bill Michaels. We are broadcasting live at Hinterland right across the street from Lambeau Field inside the Titletown District. It's going to be our home for the entire regular season and, well, hopefully postseason.
Yeah.
As the Packers play every home game here at Lambeau, this is where you're going to find us afterwards with the Uptown Motor Cars Green and Gold postgame show. We talk about this every year, Gary, but you've now got a little over 24 hours as guys are going to find out whether or not they have a job. I thought it was interesting. Ross Tucker today put out a tweet and said, for many of the guys, this game is it, and they don't realize it. This is the last game that you will ever play organized football in any sense again.
Yeah.
And we always talk about it, well, this meaningless game. And we forget about that.
Yeah. It really,
I don't know why it made me pause this morning when I read that. Ross Tucker, I think, is brilliant, very insightful, really good, smart guy. We talk to him at Super Bowl every year. But he posted that today, and I went, wow.
Yeah.
You forget about the human element. So what is it like now that you've completed the preseason, you know you're going to look at some film tomorrow, and then you're waiting for the knock on the door?
Well, so I've been in that position. I mean, you're like myself. I was a seventh-round draft pick for the Green Bay Packers. So when you drafted that low, well, back when I was playing, you had 12 rounds. But when you're a seventh-round pick, you know you're kind of on the edge of making it or not. And so you just try to go out and do the best you can do in this last game, right? And you're going to get a lot of opportunities. And hopefully you take advantage of the opportunities that are given to you. So you go back to the hotel. You call your mama for sure, right?
She gets
on the phone. Maybe you tell your mom how well you did or how bad you did. Your mom would say, well, you know, you did okay. Just, you know, pray and all that kind of stuff. All right, good, good. So the next day you wake up, right, and you know it's cut day. So you and your roommate are sitting in the hotel. Now, these days I think they got all these cell phone things. And back then all we had is a phone that could – they come knock on the
come
door.
Come knock on the door.
So my roommate was Kenny Stills, who he also went to Wisconsin with me. I was drafted in the seventh round. Kenny Stills drafted in the eighth round. And all of a sudden, a knock at the door. I wouldn't answer it. Kenny wouldn't answer it. So they had to go downstairs to get a key to come in our room because neither one of us would answer the door. Scared. And so they come in with the key and they go, Kenny, can you bring your playbook? And so Kenny and I, we were roommates at Wisconsin. So I had known him since I was like 17 or 18 years old. And here we're now like 21, 22, trying to make this team. Of course, he was on offense, I was on defense. It was bittersweet and it was sad to see him get cut and to see me stay. And on one hand, I was like happy that it wasn't me. But I really couldn't celebrate because I was with a guy that I've known
right.
for the better part of my life. And so it's kind of tough. And for a lot of these guys, is that where you grow bonds, you form relationships with guys on the team, and normally you're roommates, and one of these guys got to go, and it's tough. So you just hope that you put enough good film out there that you can get picked up by another team. But it's going to be, I don't know, I think it's 25 to 30 guys probably going to get cut. Just from the Green Bay Packers, but there's 32 teams, so there's about 25 to 30 guys on each team around the league that are looking to get in the XFL.
Right.
Because that's where all these guys are going to go.
I was going to say, at least there's an opportunity there for some of these guys.
Right, so that's where these guys are going to get cut now. They have an opportunity to get to the XFL, so that's where they'll probably go.
Do you like the single cutdown day, or do you like how they did it before where you trimmed it down, you got it down to 70-something?
I don't like the way it is now because you got nowhere to go. At least when you had those cutdown days and they did them in stages, at least you can go and catch on with another team because maybe the coach didn't work right with you or the offensive fit wasn't right, the defensive fit wasn't right. You got nowhere to go now. Once they cut you now, it's pretty much over.
Yeah.
Now, the only good thing about that, we didn't have a practice squad when I played. Now, at least there's a practice squad, so you may have an opportunity to get on somebody else's practice squad. But right now, it's just such an abundance of players being cut all at one time that's going to be let loose out there. It's tough to not try to get on with another team.
Robin writes, hey, I heard you talking earlier about Mason Crosby. Why would you not let him go? He's been inconsistent on kickoffs. Listen, first of all, I don't think he's done enough to warrant replacement. But my point earlier was, if you're going to get rid of him, then take the money that you're saving, because that's ultimately what it will be. It will be a money-saving opportunity, because both guys have kind of kicked the same. So you're going with the guy that's cheaper, because the guy that has experience, if he's the same, if everything becomes equal on all parts, you want the experience.
Yeah, all day long.
All day long. So the point is that if you're going to cut him, you're probably cut him because money factors into this.
Right.
If money factors into it, then re-sign Kenny Clark or give somebody else that you want to give a contract to, accelerate it, and then prorate that bonus and put a lot of that money into this season so it doesn't hurt you in the salary cap down the road if you want to let that guy go after a couple of years. Ted Thompson was a master at that. Ted didn't do a lot of things, but Ted Thompson was good at when he signed somebody, he tried to prorate that money to where it was accelerated into the current season. Therefore, it wouldn't hurt you down the road. If you needed to get rid of that guy, you still had the capability to do so for very minimal money. So what I'm saying is, look, if you're going to cut Mason, and I don't think they will, but if you're going to cut Mason, at least take that money and use it and make it worth something.
Yeah.
Don't just cut him to cut him. Otherwise, you know it's a business decision.
Well,
and then you're just sitting on the money and doing what with it?
Well, you don't. Well, first of all, you don't. You're right. You don't. And it's not about kickoffs for him. I mean, you need to go directional kicking with him. You get height on the ball. He's fine. You bring in a new kicker and have them to go kick in November and December in Lambeau Field and see what that's like. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy up in there. So, I mean, I'd rather have Mason Crosby just for that reason alone. Like I said, I don't think he is done enough to warrant to be cut, not even because of salary issues. They got enough money.
All things are kind of equal. I mean, he had, like I said, two miss hits. Ficken didn't, but it wasn't like they were sending him out there consistently from 50 beyond.
Right.
And guys were going back and forth, splitting the uprights to see who was better. Mason's been Mason. Mason
right.
had one kick. And let me ask you this, because
yes.
I had said that first night when they played the Texans and Mason had that kickoff that went out of bounds, it just looked weird. It might have been just a mishit. I don't know. But it looked weird, and I wonder how often would a special teams coach or a head coach go, hey, I want to see these guys with their back against the wall. Just kick it out of bounds.
Right.
You know, let's see how these guys react. Can they handle the pressure of starting almost at midfield? Do coaches do that?
No.
And at the expense of making a player look bad?
No, that doesn't happen.
Okay, because I just, you know, I wanted to, I kind of want, it just looks so bad.
I know, but he just mishit.
Well, we'll just call it a mishit, and that was one mark against Mason Crosby. Oh, yeah. But I still don't think they get rid of Mason. I just don't. 855-830-8648, Gary Ellerson. You can hit him up on Twitter, @GaryEllerson. You can hit me up, @Bill_Michaels. When we come back, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers just left the podium a little while ago. You're going to hear his press conference. 27-20, the Packers knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. We are broadcasting live at Hinterland here just across the street from Lambeau Field in the Titletown District. Going to be here the entire home regular season and hopefully into the postseason. So come on by and say hi. And it all gets underway for real next Thursday night. We won't be here, but we're going to be at the Shy Bar in Chicago for the postgame show. And actually, my regular show during the day is going to be there as well. So if you're going to Chicago next week, and apparently because the hotels are sold out, many of you are, come on by and say hello. We're going to be at the Shy Bar in the Hotel Sheraton. Stay tuned. We got Matt LaFleur coming up next on the Green and Gold postgame show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Green Bay Packers, they get a win tonight. They knock off the Kansas City Chiefs at Lambeau Field. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellison alongside. I'm not you.
Right,
it's getting late. It really is. Show could get slap happy and go off the rails here at any point in time.
It's been a long day.
It has been a long day. It's going to be a longer weekend, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, long week.
I'm excited about next week. Heading down to Chicago, our first huddle of the season is going to take place. Then we're going to head down Wednesday night and get ready and set up in the Shy Bar down at the Sheraton Hotel. We'll be there next Wednesday night and immediately following the game. So after the game, I would assume that many Packers fans are staying in Chicago. So come on over and say hi and hang out with us a little while. And who knows, maybe Gary will let you buy him a cocktail after the show.
Yeah, I'm good for that. Anybody
good with that?
Anybody?
Okay.
Anybody?
And if it's a nice warm night out there on that patio,
yeah,
a cigar might not be a bad way to go.
Bueller.
There you go.
Bueller.
There you have it.
Bueller.
Let's do this. Matt LaFleur was at the podium just a little while ago, and he ended up speaking to the media after the final preseason game. And that's brought to you by our friends at Pick and Save. Pick and Save, your local Pick and Save store. Stop in and save at Pick and Save. Here is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur. There you go. That was Matt LaFleur as his press conference came to an end. He ended up finishing his statements and ending the press conference, walking out. He sounded somber.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe it's he knows cut down day's coming. He's got some tough decisions to make.
Got a lot of work
guys to talk to. Yeah,
yeah. They'll be up all night long. I mean, it's going to be a tough 2 days here. I'm sure. And you know, he's always. You know what I find interesting is that he talks a lot about he and Brian Gutekunst working together.
Right.
Nothing goes by me that I don't know that. I never really heard that about McCarthy say that about he and Ted.
I mean,
he says it all the time.
I think Mike said it at first. I just don't think that after they won a Super Bowl and him and Ted, you know, kind of Ted began to segregate himself. And I think there were a couple of moves that Ted made that, you know, that Mike, remember Mike was caught off guard a couple of times at the podium. And I think at that point in time, maybe that relationship had already been strained, but I think Ted segregated himself. So I don't think Mike could have said, hey, me and Ted. I think Gutekunst, he's visible. You see him walking on the field. You see him walking around the locker room. I mean, he's visible. You know what I mean? So it is going to be him and Gutekunst making decisions.
Which I think is everybody gave Mark Murphy all this crap about breaking down silos. And I think, to me, that's what contributed to the Packers being where they are now in the last two or three years, is that Ted never really talked to anybody.
Yeah.
Just did all on his own. And so now at least, and it felt like at least you have coaches having input on players that they want in their system. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And before with Ted, you just felt like he was just drafting guys and go make it work.
Let me ask you this, and we'll save the answer for the other side. But
sure.
You know, we're sitting here talking about depth, and I got some people tweeting us saying this is probably a deeper, more steady team and stable team that we've seen in years past, and maybe we can agree with that. But then the question came from a listener who said, do you think they're on the right path? And that's probably a different type of question because right. You have to believe if they're, you know, kind of rebuilding from the years that weren't good, are they on the right path to getting better
right. And
consistently better? We'll talk about that when we come back. The Packers get a win 27-20. They ended up knocking off the Kansas City Chiefs final preseason game. You heard the head coach there. That's brought to you by Pick and Save. A little bit somber as you get ready for cutdown day, but you're also looking forward to Chicago. 1 week from tonight, we're going to be at the Shy Bar down there in the Sheraton Hotel, bringing you the Green and Gold postgame show after the Packers and the Bears and the kickoff to the 100th anniversary of NFL football. Hang in there. We've got a lot more of the Green and Gold postgame show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Green Bay Packers, they knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. Final preseason game is in the books, and now we can turn our sights to the regular season. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. It's the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show. We are glad you're up and taking a listen to us this evening. One of the things that I think, as we sit here tonight, Gary, and we're talking to those that are listening to, you know, parts unknown, wherever you're at, and I had posted this a little while ago, and I said, look, Where are Packers fans tonight? And I thought there would be a lot of discussion about depth, about the particular players who may or may not make it. And so I kind of got to thinking, and I thought to myself, is this what – because I said, Packers fans, are you snoozing tonight? I thought there would be a lot more interest. Then again, I don't think anybody really knows what to expect this season. So is it apathy or is it just apprehension? I think there's a lot of Packers fans. Do you get this sense – that are kind of sitting there metaphorically with their arms crossed and they're kind of rubbing their chins going, okay, show me something before I buy into what's going on.
Yeah, Packer fans have no idea what the hell's going on. Because
every year we've come into this, it's always been Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, we don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, all right, listen, we came up in the training camp, Bill. We had to get a roster to try to figure out who these guys were. I mean, they totally flipped this roster right in front of our face. I mean, just think about it. The Donald Drivers, Jordy Nelsons, I mean – what happened? All these guys are gone. Josh Sitton, T.J. Lang. I mean, we can go on and on and on. They're no longer here. Charles Woodson's and, you know, I mean, it's just a whole new crop of players that really hadn't shown us anything to like them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Is there like a new player that I like will want my son to go buy a jersey from? I don't think there is.
Not yet.
No, I don't.
Not yet.
Unless he's from my hometown or something like that. But other than that, I don't. I mean, there's no new guy out there right now that does it for me. That's electrifying right now.
No, I get it. Well, here's the question. That leads us
to new guy.
That goes
Jair. Maybe.
That leads us to where we were going on into the break, and that is. Are they on the right track?
I don't see. Listen, if they're looking to win a Super Bowl or be in a Super Bowl, they need a couple more Aaron Rodgers, and I don't see another one either. Defensively, they need somebody. I don't see anybody like that. Because you remember when they went to that Super Bowl run there, or even when they lost to Seattle. I don't even want to talk about that. But Clay Matthews was it like in his prime. You had
right.
You had Clay Matthews, you had Charles Woodson, and who's the other guy that's back with us now?
Well, Tremont Williams was coming up. Sam Shields was coming up. B.J. Raji in his rookie season.
Well, okay, Clark may take – but still, you got
– You had the best year out of A.J. Hawk you ever had.
Yeah, you got none of that. I mean, there's no young player other than defensively.
But remember, you had depth, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Frank Zombos
right,
in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those guys all contributed.
I'm just saying jerseys.
Right.
Jerseys that I would pay $100 for my kid to go get. I mean, because that's probably how much they cost. There's not a guy Is there a guy?
I don't think
there is.
There's probably a couple of guys you could look at, you could like, you could say, you know, if Aaron Jones stays healthy, maybe if you know, all of a sudden Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Devontae Adams is going to sell jerseys.
But
is there that cat that's going to catch your eye, that's going to have that something special about him?
No. In the last 2-3 years.
No. You're probably going to sell as many
right
Devontae Adams jerseys as you do Bakhtiari jerseys.
And let me just say this, because we have a Blake Martinez fan. I like Blake a lot.
I don't know what his ceiling is, though.
But
he's gotten better every year.
Yeah,
I just don't know if
he's just steady. He's right there. I mean, he's not Clay Matthews. He's not that.
No,
he's not that. He's solid.
He's not Urlacher.
Wait, oh, hell no, he's not Urlacher.
He's not Urlacher roaming the middle. Because if Clay brought him
Urlacher
up from the outside.
Urlacher's okay. A Hall of Famer. Clay's not even a Hall of Famer.
So, look, we all agree that A.J. Hawk is going to be a Packers Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But is Blake Martinez better than A.J. Hawk?
About the same. Same guy.
You think so?
About the same guy.
So he's going to be good. He's going to be steady. He's not going to cost you games. He's not going to win you games, but he's just going to be there.
He may be able to cover a little bit better, too. So Blake, I think, probably can play 3 downs. Right? A.J. Hawk, he couldn't do 3 downs. At least Blake can play in coverage. And because those guys out on the West Coast, that's all they did. I mean, them jokers score like 70-80 points a game out there. They don't run the football out there. But so he could cover, but A.J. couldn't cover like that. But if you're talking about, like, if I want to go win a Super Bowl, Bill, you need to win a Super Bowl, I think you need at least four guys like that to win it.
Yeah.
I think we have Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
We'll do this. When we come back here in a few, we're going to play Tim Boyle. He ended up talking to Mike Clemens for a little while. We're going to hear from him. Aaron Rodgers did not speak tonight, so obviously no Aaron Rodgers press conference. But Mike Clemens got a lot of sound, and he's got some thought coming up from inside the locker room as well. Before we do that, though, I wanted to ask you, because we're talking about who are, you know, the superstars, but who could be? Jair Alexander, could we say he could be?
Yes.
He could be?
Yes.
You and I disagree on Kevin King. I think Kevin King's tremendous if he's healthy.
Yeah, if.
If he stays healthy.
If.
I don't think Aaron Jones is on the same level as Le'Veon Bell and all that kind of stuff, but if he stays healthy, how good do you think he can be?
He's not better than Amon Green.
No, Amon Green had that rare combination of power and speed. He could run north, south, and run over you. He could also get around the outside on you.
You have to ask yourself, can he be serviceable like a Ryan Grant?
Now, Ryan Grant in his heyday, I take.
Level.
Yeah, because Ryan Grant was solid.
Yeah.
So he gave you a legit running threat, which kind of brought guys into the box, and you were looking at guys one-on-one on the outside.
Yeah, you had to.
Can the run game complement with Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Dexter Williams? Can the run game complement it enough to open up Devontae Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and whomever it is the other receiver? Slot Geronimo Allison, you know, Jake Kumerow, whoever.
Why
it has
I
to
feel
be.
Like you're trying to make me depressed?
Because you're like me, you don't know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Am I wrong? You don't know.
Because
Marquez Valdes-Scantling has a ton of speed.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to show it, get downfield and get open? We'll wait and see.
I equate him to maybe like a Greg Jennings, because Greg was fast.
Yeah, but Greg I think, slot. Is a much better receiver. Because Greg you could throw it up to and he could go get it.
So is MVS. It's like 6'3".
I don't know if he's got Greg Jennings' leaping ability, though.
Yeah, he's like 6'3". I mean, he's that, but I don't know if he can be that good. I mean, if you think about it, can any of these guys be like James Jones? And I don't even know if James Jones went to a Pro Bowl, but he was good.
Right. Well, if you had 3-4 James Joneses on your team, you're going to win.
That's like if the Brewers had like 4 legitimate number 2s, and they don't.
Yeah.
That's why they're not doing anything.
Right. Or even number 3s.
Yeah, they got none of
that. Yeah, they don't have any of that right now.
That's a whole other deal. They playing the Cubs this week, aren't
they? Yeah, they do. Tomorrow. Wrigley Field.
Oh, they're in Chicago.
Yeah, they're in Chicago.
3 games?
3 games.
Oh,
3-game series down there in Chicago.
Oh, my goodness. Did that take a turn?
So there you go. Or 3-game or 4-game? I can't remember.
This is almost a must-win for them.
Very much, considering that's the team ahead of you right now in the wild card.
Is St. Louis in first?
Yeah, St. Louis is in first, 5.5 games up, and then the Brewers are trailing the Cubs because the Cubs are in second right now. So
what about the wild card?
Well, the Brewers are trailing the Cubs for the wild card right now. So you've got three against the Cubs this weekend, and then Monday back at Miller Park, you got Houston for three, and then the Cubs for four. So you got seven out of your next nine are against Chicago.
When do the Badgers play? Let's get something happy.
Badgers are playing tomorrow night.
All right, good.
Badgers are back at it tomorrow night.
The Hurricanes okay?
You're right. What's that?
The Hurricane. They got a Hurricane.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Miami Hurricane.
Oh, they're done.
No, they got a Hurricane, but I don't think it's going to amount to anything.
Oh, they don't? So they're
good? No, it's bread and milk and keep your dog safe. That's about it.
All right.
Let's do this. We're going to go and take a quick break. When we come back, Mike Clemens is going to join us from over inside Lambeau Field. He had a chance to catch up with Tim Boyle. We'll hear that coming up here momentarily. Stay tuned for that. And also, the Green Bay Packers get a win 27-20. They finally end this preseason. None of the starters play, and now we got to wait and see what it's going to be like or what they're going to unveil or debut down at Lambeau or down at Soldier Field coming up next Thursday night in Chicago. We are broadcasting live at Hinterland here in Green Bay across the street from Lambeau Field in the Titletown District. Come on over during the regular season and say hi. He's Gary Ellerson. I'm Bill Michaels. More of the Green and Gold postgame show coming up after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. 27-20, the Packers knock off the Kansas City Chiefs at Lambeau Field. And finally, the preseason comes to an end. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. It's the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show live from here in Hinterland, right across the street from Lambeau Field in the Titletown District. We now go over to Lambeau Field. Mike Clemens standing by, and he was in the locker room a little while ago, or heard Matt LaFleur's press conference a little while ago. So, Mike, the preseason has finally come to an end, and if there's any stories to be told out of this, what direction would you go?
Well, we started with 36 players inactive, you know, Aaron Rodgers and company, 18 defense, 18 offense. One of the things that I thought was interesting to the start of the game is no surprise that the veteran Adrian Amos at safety was rested, but they also rested Raven Green. Now, he got a lot of snaps last year for the Packers. They did start, though, the first-round pick Darnell Savage Jr. at safety. He got snaps, but, you know, he had kind of a shortened camp with that wisdom tooth thing at the front. Danny Vitale did play fullback at the start of the game. Now, he missed some times, about 2 weeks with a calf injury. But Malcolm Johnson, his competition at fullback, was rested tonight, and I don't think that was injury-related. So I found that kind of curious. You know, this Marcus Jones kid, the linebacker, he jumped out tonight. He flashed living the dream with a fumble recovery, and before that, the tip pass that Ty Summers had. But, you know, let's start off with the quarterback, backup quarterback battle. Tim Boyle, he ends up having a quarterback rating tonight of 95, throws a touchdown pass to Jace Sternberger, who got carted off and then brought back onto the field. He walked back on the field. Don't know exactly what that injury was. But here's a little bit of quarterback Tim Boyle talking to us reporters.
You guys on the same wavelength when it came to play calling at all?
Yeah, we did a good job all week. All three of us quarterbacks were going to play of making sure we knew what was coming in certain situations. So, like I said, he did a good job of getting us ready for the play calls that were going to come in certain, you know, down distances or stuff like that. So,
yeah. Just how do you feel about tonight and just the whole preseason?
I think I've done well enough to put myself in a good spot. But right now it's a waiting game. So all I can do right now is just spend some time with my family and see what happens.
Just to me, you seem to be the most composed running your huddle than I've seen yet. I mean, you to the next level.
Yeah, it's just comfort in the system, comfort in the play calling. It was clicking today in the huddle. You know, no bad play calls, anything like that from my end in the huddle. But, yeah, it felt good to be out there.
Talk about the touchdown.
I think the 2-yard line, something like that. And Jace ran a good route. I ran a little keeper to left and scored.
Finding the open man. I mean, and that's what some of these plays like we've seen in practice rolling out in the game.
Yeah, it's always good when you can have open guys like that all over the field, and especially when you able to get out of the pocket and there's no one in front of you, be able to make a clean throw, there's nothing better.
Thanks, Tim.
No problem.
And then, guys, there's DeShone Kizer, who I've been describing, the more athletic quarterback, the one with a bigger arm. You saw him use his feet, you know, and run for first downs. And finally he got a touchdown drive going, but that was after the drive where he's deep in his own territory and he throws a pick that led to a Kansas City Chiefs touchdown. Now, I asked Kizer what happened on the play. He said that, he suggested the receiver, who was Jamon Moore, ran a incorrect shallow route. And so that, you know, he was throwing to a ball to a different area, whatever, it ended up in the hands of the Kansas City Chief. But it's just, it's that kind of a play where, you know, how can Matt LaFleur ever trust this guy? He's 8 for 15 tonight, 77 yards, a quarterback rating of 62.4. And I asked Kaiser, how do you think you improved this training camp?
I think I became a better quarterback all around. Throwing the ball a little more accurately, been able to command the huddle the way I want to, really been able to lead within the offense, really been able to participate in the offensive meetings the way I want to, and give my insight from the experience that I've had. So for the most part, I think I'm a much better quarterback than I was before training camp started. And now it's up to, you know, the guys upstairs to determine where my future is. And I'm looking forward to, once again, coming right back in this locker room, preparing to go out and open up this NFL season and help Aaron do what he does best, and that's going out and winning games.
And then on defense, probably the guy who had the best camp of all is the seventh-round pick out of TCU, Ty Summers. At one point, I think he was leading the league in preseason tackles. And then tonight, you know, he has that tremendous 74-yard interception when Marcus Jones, his linebacker, tips the football. And so I asked him about that. And you know, the one thing he talked about is, of course, he was having like 10 tackles a game, but 4 or 5 missed tackles against the Texans, against the Ravens. And I asked him, how did he score out last week in Winnipeg against the Raiders?
Third game, I didn't have any missed tackles, so that was an improvement. There was ways that I could have put myself in better position to make more plays, so that was the area I could have worked on there. Today, kind of the same thing. Yeah, I don't think I missed any tackles. A couple times I had a bad angle on the sack and I slipped. I mean, but other than that, I didn't really miss tackles, but it was just I didn't find myself like the positions to make a lot, which was kind of uncharacteristic of me. And I don't know if it was just the way that the running backs were out there running. I thought I was feeling where it was going to end up going and they'd go somewhere else. And so it's one of those things that hopefully that I end up showing enough at some point. I mean, I had so many snaps. Enough that they'd be like, okay, we're going to keep them. We can do something with them. So at the end of the day, I'm just going to hang out with my family that's in town and enjoy a lot the next couple of days and kind of see what ends up happening. But hopefully there's a lot more ahead. And so I feel like I was just trying to give it all I got, you know, and trying to learn to the best of my ability. And at the end of the day, let's just see what kind of decision they end up making based on that given fact.
So you're running to the right side. The ball goes up in the air. Who deflected it? And tell us what happened after that.
I think Marcus hit the quarterback, and it just allowed it to kind of come out the way it did. And I was playing on my man, and sure enough, it just floated right to me. And so I just had to make the play.
Showing breakaway speed and living the dream.
Hey, living the dream. Amen to that.
Thanks, Ty.
Yes, sir.
And I was watching on defense tonight, guys. If anybody, on the third string was stepping up, and now Kingsley Keke, you know, draft pick, I'm not surprised by some of the big plays that he had in tackles in the quarterback sack because he's shown that talent in practice as well. But I just didn't see anybody else in that group that really stepped up. Linebacker Randy Ramsey, now that Reggie Gilbert's out, he had some opportunities late in the game. Not any really big plays. Going to have to, you know, look at the tape on that one. But, you know, Ty Summers obviously has probably had the best camp out of anybody. And then you move on to special teams. And to me, the most surprising play in this fourth preseason game tonight is Mason Crosby missing a point after. And meanwhile, Sam Ficken is kicking off and kicking the ball out of the end zone. He hasn't missed a kick now in a couple of weeks. And he says, well, you know, he's prepared for whatever's going to happen next in his NFL career.
I don't want to downplay getting cut. Getting cut sucks. But I think at the end of the day, you know, there's lots of teams out there looking for, you know, good quality kickers. I feel like I'm one of them. And, again, you know, I kicked well. If you don't miss any kicks, what can you do, you know? Would have loved to get a few more opportunities out there. I've been through this once or twice now. So, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Mason. He was a standout guy the whole time. He's an exceptional kicker. So credit to him and how he kind of helped me along and, you know, just the little things you can kind of pick up on one another. So that's been great. And, again, you just kind of see how the next 36, 72 hours kind of pan out.
The cutdown is 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. That's the deadline. Receiver Jamon Moore, usually he's pretty good with the media today. He waved us off. I saw him hugging guys in the auxiliary locker room. I got the sense he didn't think he was going to be back in that locker room.
Hey, Mike, is there, talk about Ficken and Mason Crosby. Mason Crosby had the kickoff. that went out of bounds against the Texans. He missed the PAT tonight. Do you think Mason Crosby will not be with his team?
I think it's a possibility. I just do. And because it's a new regime here, and there's no loyalty to this stuff. There's so much change that's going on, and you know, that's beneath the surface, but you feel it in that locker room. And you know, there'll be some strong cases for it. You'll say Mason Crosby's experience, that Ficken started off a little slow with his accuracy. Ficken is the guy who on this same field on family night was missing from 45, 50, and 55 yards out. And then he said to the guys, let me have one more kick. And then he nailed one from 63. And the coaches, like, they completely flipped in terms of what this guy's got. That he showed them the strong leg, and then things seemed to settle in more. His accuracy got better. Maybe it had to do with the, you know, the field goal operations unit between the snapper and J.C. Scott, you know, holding. But it's really close, man. I mean, it's, you know, if there's ever a time that they wanted to move on and save the money and all that kind of stuff, you know, to Ficken at the same, and it's like Leroy was saying earlier today, Leroy Butler, he's like, maybe this team needs to hang on to both kickers through Bears week, because, you know, one of them is going to end up in Chicago.
Yeah, no doubt. Gary and I said the exact same thing. Mike, we will see you in Chicago, okay?
Thank you, Bill and Gary.
Thanks, guys. Right, there you go. Gary Ellerson alongside. We got about 20 seconds. Anything?
No, I just ready to get the season started Thursday. Going to kick off the 100 season at Soldier Field with the Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears. It should be a good one.
Shy Bar is going to be our destination come next week this time. One more time before a crowd of 73,803 at Lambeau Field. It was the Packers 27 and the Chiefs 20. The preseason is done. We will reconvene in Chicago next week. Until then, have a good one.
See you.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.